Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Born Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Braun, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
Chris, I come bearing news. News from the research and development wing of the Cadbury's Corporation here in London.
Oh, God.
I have in my hands a
what's that?
Packet of chocolate that I... it's a Whisper Gold, hazelnut flavour.
Whisper Gold.
They've returned to the well that brought you Whisper Gold, which is kind of like a caramel kind of version of Whisper that adds a rather unwelcome sliver of caramel kind of just sugar inside the... What?
What's a Whisper?
What's a Whisper? What do you mean, what's a Whisper? W-I-S-P-A. Whisper.
Well, I know that, but like, what's in the chocolate bar?
Flavor. The chocolate bar is just a very dense kind of, not honeycomb, a little. It's a very bubbly chocolate. It's very easy to eat. It was a classy little eat in the 80s, but they kind of fell out of favour. They tried to be too many things to too many men, and they gave us the Whisper Gold, and it was just a little bit too much, a little bit too cloying, a little bit too sweet. And now they've returned to the same well, and they've brought us hazelnut flavour Whisper Gold. Now, it's a Monday morning here. I'm having a coffee, and I thought, you know what? I looked
breakfast.
At these in the Tesco extra, and I was like, I don't need that in my life. I don't need that to be the first thing that passes my lips on a Monday morning. But it's new, and it's got a new packet, and it says hazelnut where it used to say caramel. And yeah, I mean, I don't know why I did it, but I've done it, Chris, and I don't feel good about it, to be quite frank, because it wasn't very nice.
And was that your breakfast then?
That was my breakfast.
And then
I came
home. And the audacity
home.
To lambast me every week over having a late evening coffee, and you're eating
Chris.
A fucking chocolate bar for your breakfast.
Chris.
Audacity.
Yeah, but I came in and I started eating the hazelnut Whisper Gold, and I turned on my rice cooker at the same time and went, yes, Peter, you are healthy. Don't worry. Chris can't hurt you.
And he put the chocolate bar in the rice cooker and created a whole new cuisine.
Yes.
Rice
chocolate rice. Well, I mean, that's just like, it's just sweet rice, isn't it? I suppose you can have like,
it could work.
You have like
kind
of creamed rice and stuff, don't you? Ugh, loady.
I'm going back to the UK soon. I will not be stopping at your kitchen if that's the sort of things I can expect. But yes, good news on two fronts to both Pete and you guys. Actually, I don't know if it is good news, but it is for me. I'm going back to the UK for a few weeks for the first time.
Whoa.
In 200 years. I've booked a ticket. It's going to happen. I'm kind of excited but nervous, but I'm coming back and I'm going to eat so much food that I'm going to kill myself probably over the period of 3 weeks that I'm back. But yeah, booked, done. Let's do it.
Holy shit.
You can hang out, Pete. You can see me.
Yeah, lovely.
In the flesh.
Let's do stuff. Let's do some stuff. And now I've got a car, we can actually travel places.
Oh,
or I can anyway.
Yeah. Dare I sit in your car? I'm gonna get revenge for the time you got me fined by not. You were talking about something like a tree, and I was like, "Yeah, trees," and I wasn't paying attention to the road, and then I got done.
Mm.
I'm gonna enact some sort of revenge on your part. I'm gonna put my foot on your accelerator and put it down to the ground. But I'm looking forward to coming back though. It's very exciting. My favorite time of year in the UK is Christmas. I love Christmas so much. I love Charles Dickens, pork pies, mince pies, mulled wine, chocolate, crisps, Santa Claus, give it to me all, because we can't get it here. You can only get like tidbits of Christmas in Japan, as I've always complained about. But I'm really looking forward to it, genuinely. And obviously seeing friends and family, it's a big deal. So, but I do want to film like some Japan-related videos while I'm in the UK. So it's not going to be like a complete holiday, half holiday, half biscuits, half roast dinners, Japan, and half work.
Japan in London. What I mean, we've got the embassy near the Hard Rock Cafe. I think there's the first onsen opened. They call it an onsen. It's literally just two wooden tubs outside near a Lido. That's all it is. I was like, that's not good.
That could be anyone's back garden. It'd be cool. Like, we can obviously hang out, and it'll be cool to like do a video where we try to make it look like we're in Japan, but we're just in London at various like Japanese restaurants. I think there's a capsule hotel I read. I don't know if it's still open. Probably not, because I can't see that working very well in the UK, to be honest.
I'm trying to think what our equivalent of a love hotel is. It's probably just Premier some Inn. Kind of brothel, some kind of bordello in Soho, something just
back
of
a car
down for half an hour. Yeah, exactly.
But for any of our listeners who know the UK well, whether you live there or not, if you have any ideas on what you'd like to see Pete and I do, whether it's a restaurant or a place or a shop to go and investigate or poke around, let us know. Drop us a line, because I do want to do a few videos. I also want to do a video, like a little documentary about William Adams, one of the first foreign samurai. He was a dude from a town called Gillingham, which is where my family's actually from, in Kent. And he sailed over to Japan. It took him 2 years back in, I believe, the early 1600s. And he befriended Tokugawa Ieyasu and became his like right-hand man. And one of the most powerful rulers in Japan, of course. And it's an incredible story. And I'd love to tell it from like, I'd like to start the documentary back in the UK where he started his journey. And then rather than spending 2 years on a boat, I'll just fly in like 10 minutes and just do the rest in Japan, much quicker.
What a brave boy. And then become a samurai.
Reenact his route on a rubber dinghy. It's mental, this story. You've got to read it. It's called Samurai William. It's one of the best books I've ever read. And they were trying to find a northern passage to Japan from the UK. And they were like, we could do it. We'll go over the North Pole. And then they all died because they realized it was a stupid idea. The next time, William Adamson's friends went south, and they went, they sailed across the Atlantic all the way down around South America. I think in Peru, they stopped the boat for a little bit. And William Adams, his brother, he got off the boat to go and look around on shore. And William Adams witnessed his own brother getting eaten alive by cannibals while he was still at sea through a periscope. Wow. Imagine that. And then they started with, I think, 200 men.
Wait, I thought a periscope would be what a submarine uses. You mean a telescope? I don't know, because periscopes
don't
allow you to look over things. I'm just saying. It just sounds, I don't want to pick holes in your story, but it just sounds like, did he have to look over a high wall to see
it? What's it called? What's the pirate telescope thing called? That's a periscope.
Eyeglass. No, a periscope is the thing that you have I thought a periscope was the one that you have in a submarine that goes up and over, and it's got two mirrors in it so you can look over stuff. They were all the rage in the 80s.
Let me finish my bloody story. This is an epic tale, right? And William Adams, he went off with 200 men. When he arrived in Japan, which he did, his crew had gone from like 200 men to about 5. They washed up in Japan and they were like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing here? They took him to Tokugawa Ieyasu. Tokugawa Ieyasu, the ruler, the shogun of Japan, was like, kill them all. But then he was like, wait a minute, before you die, build me a boat like the one you arrived in Japan on. And William Adams, he built the boat. And Tokugawa Ieyasu was so impressed, he made him his right-hand man and like trusted confidant, and he gave him some land and some slaves, and it was brilliant. And he all lived happily ever after. And I'm going to turn that one-minute tale full of periscopes and cannibals into a documentary lasting 20 minutes, and it's going to be a lot of fun because I've always wanted to do it. Did you look it up then? Go on, put me out of my misery. What's a periscope?
I was just a bit paranoid that I'd got the tech. Yeah, it's something that, you know, allows you to look over something that you didn't. But I don't know.
But what's the one?
It's not just a telescope.
What's the one
I don't know, like an
uses?
Eyeglass. I don't know why is that different to a normal telescope. What does a pirate have that we don't have? I don't know.
Well, you know, one of those things. An eyeglass. We'll call it eyeglass.
An eyeglass.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's the first half of the good news. The other half is the studio's done, and there's a video, guys, that you can now watch of me bumbling through the studio with Natsuki, Connor Dog voice actor, and Pete Premier 2, the holy trinity of comedians. There's three people that probably make me laugh more than anyone, second only to Pete Donaldson, of course.
Of course, yes.
It was a solid crew. What do you think of the studio? Obviously, you've seen it in recent weeks on the podcast, Pete, because we talk face-to-face over a 1080p camera. But this was a full in-depth tour. What do you make of it?
I mean, first things first, I'm fairly certain your MacBook does not have a 1080p camera.
Shut
but
up.
I mean, it's one of the
720p if you're going to be pedantic.
720, mate. Look,
shut up.
It's about accuracy, isn't it, mate? It's about accuracy.
No, I'll get my 8K camera, rig it up with HDMI. Really nice. I'll show you.
It was really nice to see you get like a proper look at it, because I've only ever seen it through live form video. So it was really nice. I like this. There was a lovely shot where you were sort of... you were taking sort of shots of the street, and you could sort of see Pete in the background behind a stack of old CRT monitors you have. And he was like clearly hooking up the NES that you tried to hook up last week.
Right. He hooked up the NES, right? And in the opening montage of that video, you can see it working, the Super Mario game on the NES. It's a beautiful thing. And then Pete went again and he knocked it. He knocked the NES, and then we just could not get it working. He spent 2 hours trying to fix it, and we just can't get Mario back on the CRT screen. So gutted. And when Pete was like, "I've done it, come and look," I was so happy. I was like, "Pete, you're my favourite thing." And then an hour later, when he'd broken it, I was like, "Pete, I'm going to kill you. Get out of my face. Yeah. Get out of my studio."
Chris, I really enjoyed the video. I thought it was great. And I could see, because obviously you're with two content creators, I could see they were very excited by it all, but they were also, there was a little bit, they were green with envy at the same time, I think. I think you really, I guess it, and there was another thing I noticed, you had like a corner of the studio. It was just a lot of sweets. It's like a big sweet shop. How restrictive are you going to be? How kind of hard ass are you going to be on people if they just start munching on the sweets? What's the rules with the sweets? That's what I want to know.
The rule is, you touch my sweets, you die. I will kill you. I've got a balcony.
Because it looks too nice now. It looks too nice now. You need to, like, those kind of old school. Is it Showa? What was the era that we went to? What's the era we're talking about?
Yeah.
Not Showa.
The Showa era.
Kind of sweets, like old kind of like cinema, baseball kind of sweets you've got in there. And they look really old. Nothing looks new. And you'd have to hunt around to replace them, unfortunately.
you would. Do you know what it's called? It's called a dagasia. Yeah, it's kind of like a cheap, small-time candy store, cheap sweets, typically kind of like associated with the 60s classic 1p sweets. But, I was thinking about this. Obviously, people are going to sneak in, or when they're walking around, while I'm not looking, they're going to pinch my precious 1960s sweets, because they are edible. You can get them anywhere. But after 6 months, this won't be an issue, because all the food will be out of date and it'll
be
horrible.
Date, yeah.
And you won't want to open it. So the joke will be on them, won't it? When they open their sweets and they sneak out of my studio, I open their sweets and 3 tons of mold comes out all over their face. Then I'll have the last laugh.
A lot of them are old school, kind of like rice crackers and stuff. I'm sure they probably last way after the apocalypse, way after you slip off this mortal coil, unfortunately. So they'll be there.
Very
they'll true. Be around.
Very true. I'm still discovering things in the studio. Like while I was doing that tour, I discovered I have a piggy bank in the shop, and I tried to like shake the piggy bank and see if anything was in it, and there wasn't. So I was a bit disappointed. But it's fun just walking around discovering things, and I'm still populating the store. Like I've just bought a Pac-Man arcade, which I showed a little image of in the video, and I'll show it to you now.
Little Pac-Man guy. So just a little. Oh, he's fallen. He's fallen. I don't know who I'm going to call.
Ghostbusters.
It's too far away.
I tried to yank it off the shelf, then I realised it was all plugged in. I nearly ripped off half this wall. So there'll be no arcade games for you today. But I'm looking forward to showing you in person. It kind of needs to be seen in person to be believed. Actually, no, the video doesn't justice. Check it out, though, guys. It's called I Built a Ramen Shop in My Apartment. And. It's a cool video. It's got just the opening was my favorite thing, where I tried to prank viewers. that I was like in a Shinjuku bar or something. I had a good friend, Marcus, keep walking behind me backwards and forwards to make it look like there was a pedestrian in the alleyway behind me. And he did a great job.
It looks spooky. So it looks really spooky.
It does a bit, but check it out. We got a story this week from Paco from Spain. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. My name's Paco from Spain. I want to share with you a kind of crazy love story that was born thanks to a Chris video from a few years ago." Oh, this could be good. In this video, you recommended using language exchange apps to learn Japanese. So I installed Tandem and started chatting with some Japanese people with my Google Translate Japanese level. Then I met a very cheerful and friendly girl. We talked every day and we ended up sharing our contact details, started doing video calls and such. Soon it was obvious we might be into each other. And after a few months, I told her, "I found a cheap flight to Tokyo, so I might go there in a couple of weeks." She worked in Sapporo, so it was kind of crazy for both of us, but she said she wanted to meet me too. She could only take a few days off to fly to Tokyo, which was enough for me. After my 21-hour trip, I arrived in Tokyo to meet her. It's a crazy feeling to like someone on the phone and then meet them, as it's a completely unknown person who you're supposed to like. Anyway, we had some fun walking around, but when we went back to the hotel, I suddenly started feeling terrible. I had the worst food poisoning ever, and my stomach went beast mode when I had a 39-degree fever. I thought that I was probably the most unlucky person on earth. After so much time wanting to meet her and have fun, I couldn't even move. We were checking if there were any hospitals around, but before that, she grabbed her coat and rushed outside. It was late at night, but she managed to find a drugstore and brought a bunch of liquids and stuff that could help me get through. I drank a bunch of this medicine and fell asleep. After a couple of hours, miraculously, my fever was gone and I was feeling much better. I took a few days to fully recover, but we were able to do some light tourism around. It was a horrible experience at the moment, but the way she took care of me made me realize that she was an angel. And I kokuhaku'd the next day, aka told her how much I liked her. We'll be 2 years together in a couple of weeks, so that's why I sent you this email today. We'll be very happy if you could share this story with everyone. Right now, because of the closed border, we've only met once more in March 2020, but when we meet again, we're planning to marry and live together. Thank you, guys, and thank you, Chris, for uploading that old video. Keep it up, Paco from Spain, man of romance. Isn't that beautiful, Pete? Isn't that magical? My tissue's
beautiful.
Out. It's
going to
blow my nose.
you just blow your nose, for crying out loud.
Just blow my nose. But that's beautiful
that's
story.
Really lovely. Yeah, and the fact that they've not been able to sort of see each other very, very often, they're sort of doing the distance thing. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder and all that stuff.
Do you think it was actually like a secret product placement by someone working at the company Tandem? They were like,
"Oh yes, do you reckon? Yeah, probably.
I hope
have we
so.
Been absolutely no, I, done?
Have we been done up like kippers? That would be so funny because I know I promoted Tandem. I promoted HelloTalk. Yeah, they're all the same. Just
right.
These apps. I used to use HelloTalk to learn Japanese. So basically, it's this app where you know it hooks you up with someone. You know, it's not supposed to be a dating app by any measure. You talk to Japanese people or anyone around the world, whoever you want to learn the language from." And, you know, you talk to a lot of interesting characters, but the conversation would run dry after like a few hours, basically. But yeah, I do recommend trying it out, though. It's quite a fun way to practice a language, whether it's Tandem or HelloTalk. I want to know, though, Paco, if you're listening to this, Paco, please let us know. Are you a real person or are you a very clever? And to be fair, if you've done this as a sponsorship, you're a genius. Because this is exactly what I would do. But if it's a real story, though, beautiful. And I hope when you come to Japan next year that you have a wonderful time together. I imagine it's been felt like a very long kind of few years waiting, right? Have you ever had to wait like that, Pete, to meet someone that wasn't
no,
me?
Because I don't think any relationship I've ever had would withstand distance. I just need to
what
be
is that?
Reminding them every day that I do have good points instead of bad points. they need to know. You know, they're only very aware of my foibles, but they also need to be reminded that, you know, I make a nice cup of tea every now and again.
I've done a few long distance relationships and it takes a lot of effort. The only good thing is you can just put it in your pocket and just, you know, it's all on your phone, isn't it? But it's pros and cons. But I hope it goes well for you, Paco. It's a wonderful story. I'd like some more dating stories. They're always my favourite to read. I feel like there's a short film in there somewhere. We got a story this week. It's not very interesting, though. Do you want to read it, Pete?
It's not very interesting.
It's rubbish.
Where's that come from?
Rubbish, sorry.
What do you mean it's rubbish? It's the sort of thing that I always find it very interesting. But like in the Far East, and certainly like in places like China and Taiwan, you kind of see a lot of like bootleg, hooky stuff, and characters that have been misappropriated, reappropriated elsewhere on an indie kind of level, and I never understand how everyone gets away with it. In Japan, though, they're a little bit more on it. They're very careful about how different IPs are used to a certain extent. But on November the 9th, so, you know, last week, charges were officially filed against a 34-year-old woman living in Tokyo's Shibuya district. In 2019, the woman began making and selling cakes decorated with chocolate pen drawings of the cast of Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba. And she basically ran this business through her Instagram account, and customers would send her images of what they wanted on the cake, and the prices would range between, you know, 13,000 yen to 15,000 yen. And she sold hundreds of these Demon Slayer cakes in this manner, and her estimated earnings apparently headed north of 6.5 million yen. So what's that?
That's a lot of money. That's $60,000 or about 40.
Exactly. So $60,000. That's amazing.
Okay, that's quite interesting. So, I was too judgmental amazing. With this story. It's just the title is a bit rubbish. But now there's money involved. It's quite interesting. Continue, Pete. Continue.
So most anime publishers aren't that bothered about fan art, as long as it's kind of producing small batches and it's a bit of a cottage industry. You know, you don't really make that much money out of it. But it starts to get a little bit more interesting when you see a woman making 60k a year on basically infringing IP and stuff like that, and she was continuing this enterprise through the internet, and she basically said that she quite cynically used these characters on the cakes because her own characters, or characters that weren't big anime stars, just didn't sell the cakes apparently. if she was just sort of making the cakes and put them online for amusement, it would have been fine. But because she was selling it, the Demon Slayer people have got in touch and said, "Let's stop this, shall we?" But she's getting caught by selling a few cakes with some hooky characters on the front.
I don't know how to feel about this. Really, on one hand, I think a lot of the companies in Japan they come down hard, don't they? Remember the whole kind of issues where you couldn't use like a Mario soundtrack. You couldn't play Mario games like Twitch and whatnot because of copyright issues. I was a bit more sympathetic to when Nintendo cracked down on the Mario Kart, the sort of the little carts you could drive around Tokyo and run people over, which became really popular with tourists, because who wouldn't want to do Mario Kart in Shibuya until some foreigners mounted the curb and ran over some people dressed as Mario characters and dressed in a Mario Kart, like in an actual cart. I kind of got Nintendo's point there. That could be quite bad. But for something like this, I don't know how I feel, really. I don't know how I feel. I think she needs to, I think, you know, maybe her cakes, are they good?
Are they good?
I don't know.
Are they good?
It's a bit of a cheap tactic, isn't it? Oh, my cakes are rubbish. I'll just paint a famous character on them. You know, I could bake a cake and paint Kimetsu no Yaiba characters on it and make lots of money. And I probably will now. But could you, though?
That's the point. It's got to be done properly, hasn't it?
And you can have a crack
I'm sure.
In my studio, Pete, in my studio, I've got a kitchen. And on that kitchen, I've got a grill. And on that gas-powered grill
lovely.
It doesn't work because I haven't paid the gas bill. But I don't know. It's interesting. These, it's not legally protected in Japan. It's sort of benevolently tolerated by rights holders. Mm. And it's okay if you do it in small amounts. I think if she'd sort of stopped at the $20,000 mark of sales, they might have been like, yeah, let it go. But at that point, I can understand it. I can understand it.
Mm. Something called the dodging code. That basically, you can kind of flirt with derivative works of anime because fan art isn't legally protected, but they are.
And it's fucking edible, isn't it?
So to speak.
You're destroying
it's edible.
The art.
Where's the evidence?
Right.
I mean, look, if you're a big company and you've got millions of pounds, if someone bought a cake that had your actual you know, your IP on the top, and you got sick or whatever, that's effectively, you know, your, you know, that's seen as your product almost, isn't it? So you kind of have to, IP holders, people sort of complain about people like Nintendo and Rockstar going after the smallest cottage kind of indie developers who are, you know, playing with the IP a little bit. It's not about those smaller developers. And I've said it before with like, we've had to a couple of times had to sort of, you know, not give cease and desists out, but like we've got quite a big big company called The Football Ramble, a big podcast called The Football Ramble.
Never heard of it.
It's a football podcast. But we, when someone sort of set up other podcasts called literally The Football Ramble, we have to sort of go, you can't do that, because if to hold your own copyright means that you have to defend it against everything, the biggest players and the smallest players. So if a TV company made a show called The Football Ramble, we would have no recourse if we hadn't protected it or hadn't gone after a smaller person who, you know, is just, you know, setting up a Twitter page called The Football Ramble. You have to, unfortunately, defend your rights against the biggest and the smallest, because if you don't defend against the smallest, you can't defend yourself against the biggest. I think that's how it works with copyright anyway, but certainly that's certainly how it's been explained to us by our lawyers and legal team and stuff like that. So it's difficult, I understand it, but you know, you can't be drawing random characters that you don't know the IP on, even if it is just a cake here and there.
My main takeaway from this is I'm going to start selling Football Ramble cakes, and I'm going to profit from the Football Ramble. And well, yeah,
one of the few people we wouldn't want to legally take on, because you're clearly in covered in filthy lucre with your new set.
I'm going to set my own podcast called The Football Ramble, and it's going to be the worst possible opinions on football, because the only thing I know about football is there's a man called David Beckham, and he used to play football, and that's it. And it'd be really crap takes on football. Coming soon.
Right. Okay,
but
cool.
I'm sympathetic to the woman slightly. Don't go and make a Braun Japan cakes. Or if you do, give me some of the money. That's the main take from this.
What is that? It's the main take. Negotiation.
That's it. We'll be back. Your stories and questions to the fax machine in just a moment.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Japan.
Hi, I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
And I'm Chloe Morgan.
Join us every week on our brand new show, Upfront, on Football Ramble Presents. We'll get stuck into the biggest stories of women's football every Tuesday, from the latest in the WSL. Gareth Taylor said, oh, well, actually, we were playing 3-4-3 and we moved to 4-4-3-3. If you look at any of the footage, if you look at the way the players played in that first half, there were four players playing at the back. That sort of comment speaks of a manager who doesn't quite know what they're doing.
To how the Lionesses are shaping up ahead of a home Euros next summer. For me, I would pick Lee Williamson. I would just go for it now. For a younger age captain, you've got some big tournaments coming up. I think a lot of players think she's got a really great mentality, gets on with a lot of people. For me, she's a born leader, and I think she will be England captain at some point.
And what it's really like being a player in women's football today.
From my own experiences of being in a situation like that, I mean, you know, when we got promoted when I was with Spurs, that was phenomenal. I was, you know, first choice keeper. You know, then you go into the WSL for our first season and all I wanted to do was get WSL experience.
Join us every Tuesday for Upfront. Search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Subscribe now.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We've got a message from the immigrated Dutchman. Hello, immigrated Dutchman. Today, Chris and Pace, due to the privacy policy, I would like to be mentioned as the immigrated Dutchman. That's really what that means. I'm a university student at the end of my bachelor's. I'm planning to go to Japan in Tokyo for 2 weeks in the upcoming summer vacation. I wondered if there are some things to worry about in Tokyo, as, for example, spiked drinks or overpriced drinks. Keep it the good work, or as they say in Dutch, werk zee. Kind regards, the immigrated Dutchman. You hear stories all the time, Chris, but I've never experienced it, to be quite frank.
I was talking to a friend of mine, who I won't name, who did have his drink spiked recently, about a year ago, I think, in Tokyo. It does happen. We've had some horror stories, haven't we, over the years on the podcast. Mm. And I would recommend you, immigrated Dutchman, I would recommend you go back and listen to an episode. I think it was about a year ago, a year and a half, we talked about it in detail. We read out a lot of scams. I think the episode was called like 4 Scams to Avoid in Tokyo. And we hit them head on. We had like the worst one, of course, is the people that lure you into Shinjuku and Roppongi bars, give you a free drink laced with something and then obliterate your credit card. We had a scam where someone would walk up to you in the street and hand you a flag of Japan. And you'd go, oh, that's a nice flag. And they'd go, yes. Now give me $50. And it was less a scam, more a seriously annoying inconvenience. But no, check that episode out. For the most part, though, Japan is fine. The only scams you'll get are spiked drinks, dodgy flags, and people that come up to you being really nice who actually want to just induct you into some sort of weird cult, which we've also talked about on that same episode. But I'd go and recommend checking that out because we talked about it in detail. We've got one here from Ryan. He says, hello, Christ and Pete. I don't know if it was an honest mistake or if he genuinely believes that I'm Christ reincarnate. We'll never know. My name's Ryan. I'm a university student in Massachusetts in the US with a double major in computer science and Japanese. It's long been my dream to work in Japan with the field of computer science. However, a little while back, I was discussing my plans with my doctor, and he mentioned there are several vaccines required before going to Japan. I was shocked by this, and I was wondering, Chris, if you'd had to go through something similar from the UK to Japan. Aside from the obvious COVID-19 vaccine, are there any others you need before going to Japan? Are there some native diseases to Japan that you never have to worry about in the UK? Thank you so much for this, guys. All the best, Ryan. Yes, there was, is it encephalitis and typhoid, I think, are the vaccines that I took before I got on the JET program because I was living in Japan long term. They're very rare. If you get encephalitis, it can be quite deadly and it can ruin your brain, basically, and cause a lot of damage to your brain. But that sounds very bad, actually. Get the vaccine. I got it because I was going to live here, basically. But a good friend of mine who's coming over, the editor of Abroad in Japan, Dave, he came over here about 2 years ago now. And he was coming over only for like a week or two. And he was terrified when he read about the vaccines. He was like, oh, gosh, should I get it? Should I not? I was like, nah, don't worry about it. Yeah. Ain't gonna happen.
They do sort of. They
and then he got it. And he died.
I'd had a few.
No, it's fine.
I'd only had a few because I'd done a bit of work in Africa a couple of times, but so I was kind of squared away. But truly, if you're just going to be spending a few days in Tokyo and Osaka and Kyoto and Hiroshima and stuff, like it's very much for people who live in sort of more rural climes who are, you know, going to be chancing their arms in the rice fields and stuff. Like it's very much. I think there was a case of like yellow fever in that closed Yogi Park for a little while. They're pretty on it
in
metropolitan
think,
areas. They're very on it when it comes to closing stuff down if certain diseases have been found, unfortunately. So or rather fortunately. But so you don't need to worry, really.
Yeah, exactly. Coming for a few weeks, don't worry about it too much. Coming here to live and work, then I would recommend getting it because it's just worth having. It's just worth having.
Yeah,
we've got one here from Jack. Over to you, Pete. You've got a very long opening to this one. Good luck.
Greetings, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Chris. Chris and Peter Piper, Victor Peck of Pickle Pete. My name is Jack and I'm writing from Maui in Hawaii and I'm headed to Japan next year in March. Hooray! And to be honest with you, I have not a bloody clue what to pack and bring. Knowing Chris has some alt experience, and from what I can tell, Pete frequents the country with that knowledge prefaced, what would you recommend I throw in your luggage? Big fan of the podcast and the YouTube channel. Keep up the good work, Jack. Is there anything that you would insist on when it comes to coming to Japan? I don't think there's anything we could possibly have that isn't available out there apart from deodorant and good hairspray.
Yeah, I mean, just bring credit cards and dreams. That's the only thing you need when coming to Japan. You could come with just a wallet and that's it and win. Like, I know you get your mobile phone from like the airport or something, Pete, or you order it in advance, don't you, before coming here?
Yeah.
That's the only thing you seem to need.
Or the Wi-Fi. If you've got an unlocked phone's a pretty decent thing now because you can just bang a new SIM in there if you want.
Well, honestly, that's it, Jack. And you know, if you're coming here for like a week or two holiday, I'd try and book your accommodation in advance because it can get a little bit busy, can get filled up quite badly. But honestly, that's pretty much it. You know, you can get everything in Japan. That's the honest answer. What do you bring, Pete? What do you bring? Nothing really, just clothes and suits and swanky coloured clothes.
Couple of suits, a bit of clothing, football kits. I'm pretty... There's nothing. I'm a bit of a light traveller at the best of times, so I don't necessarily over. And especially if you're sort of travelling around quite a lot, which people are wanting to do in Japan, it is a false economy bringing all that stuff because you're just going to have to bloody carry it. So travel light. You can buy everything in Japan that you can buy over here. And to be honest, some of my favourite days are those days where I'm like, I need to get some hairspray. That will be my quest. walking around the medicine shop, just trying to find some bloody hairspray or something. I quite like that sort of little quest. I got to do this, got to do that, got to get this, got to get that. It's bring medicine if you've got a long term illness, bring that. But everything other than that, I think you're absolutely fine.
Beautiful. Just bring enough money to buy Kimetsu no Yaiba cupcake and you're good to go, Jack. To be honest, you're good to go. Keep the stories,
lovely,
questions, comments coming in to BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. If you haven't yet seen the studio tour video, go and check it out on the YouTube. We'll be back later in the week to all over again, but for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great weekend and we'll see you on Wednesday to do it all over again on the Born Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row?
Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.